This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now I can dance with that party.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. One of them old Freaky Fridays. Love it. Football Friday, Freaky Fridays. Let's get it, y'all. The NFL Combine is rocking and rolling. They've had 2 days, day two of the on-field activities rocking and rolling. Yesterday, the D-linemen and linebackers kicked off day one of the on-field activities. And this is one of my favorite times of the year, boys. This is one of my favorite times of the year. The Texans, they got six draft picks this year. And the meetings have been what D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio emphasized the most. Now, they've got a couple of folks there, obviously, that are watching the on-field action and so on and so forth. But the meetings are what they really, really lean into. And you've seen so far, because of whose day is on the schedule, we've seen a couple of defensive linemen. We've seen a couple of linebackers. We've seen a ton of defensive backs and a ton of wide receivers that the Texans have I think it's been confirmed the Texans have met with those particular players. So I don't know, Ron, what we can pull from the meetings that they're having. I know they met with the Texas D lineman that you know, at least self-proclaimed, thinks he's the best defensive tackle in the game. Ohio State wide receiver, Emeka Egbuka. I know one wide receiver. Now, this is going to be a second rounder probably that I've been sitting on this for a while, Ron. But I really
put your name on something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just hope it works out. I love this kid, man. He was at LSU and it didn't work out at LSU. Got caught up in the coaching change, and he transferred to TCU. Wide receiver Jack Besh. Kind of a tight end wide receiver tweener, bigger bodied wide receiver. Another one of those guys, Ron, that's not just your typical wide receiver that you could see doing some different things with. He's a real size advantage and has great ball, I mean, hand-eye coordination, ball skills in the red zone. Again, a bigger body that you could work with in different ways. I really, really like him in that second round area. I don't know if he's going to be able to jump up, but he's one of those guys that if you throw it in his catch window, he'll go get it. You know, he's gonna come down with it. Kind of one of those guys. Yeah, but sneaky not. You know what I mean? Like, you look at him, you're like, yeah, he's a good possession guy, bigger body, big target, good catch radius. But one of those guys that always seems to be open, always seems to create separation. And, again, great ball skills. I just, he's one, for whatever reason, I've just always felt like would work well here with Nico Collins and work well here with obviously CJ Stroud. But we'll see. Again, not a first, that wouldn't be the first rounder. The Amika Egbuka and what's the kid's name out of Missouri that everybody's Luther Burden.
Yep.
Those are more your first round guys.
Yeah.
But Jack Besh would be one that I would like. But like I said, the D line and linebackers, they kicked off the on field activities in the combine, Ron. And real quick, the winners and losers from day one on the field with the at the combine. You got a local kid, Tyler, one of your Aggies, man. Shamar Stewart, 6'5", 267. Edge player, 267 edge player. That's a big-bodied edge player. Guy that could move inside and out. Boys, he went 4'6".
He raised some eyebrows, didn't he?
He went 4'6".
Dig him.
40-inch vertical, 10'9 broad.
He was already a first-rounder.
No question he was. And I mean, he has made himself some money. He dropped 14 pounds since the Senior Bowl, so he was 280-plus at the Senior Bowl, reported today at yesterday, I guess it was, at 267. So former Aggie Shamar Stewart is one of two winners.
That's crazy. That's what Kamari Lassiter.
Come on, man. That's rolling for a big dude sitting at 267. James Pierce Jr., you'll like this one right here.
Another
edge player that was – it's interesting, Ron, but before his combine performance, he was more of a bubble first-round guy.
I've seen him to the Chiefs and Eagles late. I've seen him in multiple mock drafts in the 30, 31, 32 range.
6'5", 245, my man went 4.47 on that ass.
Yeah, that's
enough, Ron, where they, you know, some folks believe that could have made him $10+ million in terms of him. He could jump up now, they believe, could potentially be a top 12 pick instead of a bubble first round guy, which is a $10 million day he could have had. That's faster, for the record, that's faster than Kayvon Thibodeau, faster than Von Miller, faster than Trayvon Walker. That's moving for an edge player now.
Let me ask you something. Because it obviously it does. You know, especially certain guys, receivers and DBs especially. But, like, for these guys we're talking about, Clint, do you think when you see them run a number like this, it should, for the positions they play, it should significantly change where they go?
I think it depends on the film for me.
Especially, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if he's a guy that plays sideline to sideline and you now realize this guy's playing, the reason his film is so good is because he's a legit 4-5 guy and he plays. Like, we look here in Houston, you look at Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter blew the doors off the combine. I don't remember what his 40 was, but it was really good. I want to say it was the fastest for a D lineman on that day. And then you watch how he plays. He plays fast sideline to sideline. So if it doesn't translate to the guy's film, then I don't give a damn what he runs.
But sometimes that happens. But a lot of times that happens.
Oh, more times than not, it happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a guy that, all right, man, he's got good measurables,
yeah,
but he wasn't making a lot of plays out there. But then that will jump him. Like, this cat here, if this dude was thought to be a third rounder at 6'5", 245, 250, running a 4.4, he's going to jump up.
There ain't no doubt.
No matter what his film
looks like. There ain't no doubt. I mean, like, crazy to think that a good combine performance by a guy could make him possibly $10 million, depending on where he's drafted. Again, a James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, thought to be a bubble first-round guy. His performance today, again, nobody knows what's going to happen, but it's believed to have moved him up into the top 12. That's crazy. Day one losers. Hate to be this guy right here. I don't even know how to say his name. Smael Mondon Jr., linebacker out of Georgia. Ron, you know, they say folks play defense for many reasons, but a lot of times it's because they don't have hands to play offense.
Absolutely.
Oh, Smael, and I know I'm saying that wrong, but damn, it sounds good. Smael, S-M-A-E-L. He, you know how they do the little backpedal and run up and somebody throws them a ball and they act like they intercepted or whatever?
Yeah.
He dropped one early on. Other than that, apparently he's having a great, great combine. He dropped one early on, and then towards the end, one goes right through his hands and hit him in his eye, and it hit him in the eye so hard he had to leave the turf. So not only are your hands suspect, but it's so bad you got hit in the damn eye, and it ended his day. That was a day one loser. The other day one loser is just the combine as a whole with all the injuries. There were several guys that couldn't go for one reason or another, including thought to be number one overall pick, Abdul Carter out of Penn State because the
knee.
Well, it's just actually his foot.
Stress reaction.
Yeah, reaction. Foot, right. That was discovered in the. Apparently, was discovered in the medicals at the combine.
I wonder how much he was going to do anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's one that doesn't need to. I mean, he's if whoever doesn't need a whichever team is up first that doesn't need a quarterback, he's a no brainer. I mean, this is. They're throwing around very loosely. They're throwing around T.J. Watt. They're throwing around Micah Parsons. They're throwing around this guy is one of those caliber players. So, doesn't even need to be at the combine anyway. You slice it. A couple other combine notes. We mentioned yesterday Shedeur Sanders is not going to throw at the combine this weekend. Cam Ward announced the other top rated quarterback in this draft announced that he will not throw either. Both of those quarterbacks will throw at their pro day. Yep. I don't knock either one of them. And just so folks know, when you're this caliber quarterback and you know you're going to be picked in the top 10, or let's just say you know for a fact you're going to be drafted in the first round, there is a huge risk of throwing with receivers that you don't know in an environment that you're not familiar with, and versus throwing with your guys at your place. You know exactly the speed they're running at. You know exactly their break angles. When you're talking about guys like this that are as heavily scrutinized as, I mean, people are looking for the issues with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders to knock them down. They are already as high as they could possibly get from a pick standpoint. They're looking for some kind of issues to knock them down, and you just lend yourself to that if you do throw with a bunch of receivers that you don't know. Now, I stand by this. I think Shedeur Sanders should have thrown. I don't have a problem with him not throwing, but I think Shedeur Sanders, to the naked eye there on the field, I think Shedeur Sanders could have showcased the ability to layer the football, the touch that he can throw it with, the ability to with the higher release point, the more natural power stroke action, to make the ball dance, I say. Like, I think that's something that in that setting he would really, really, really flourish in. Yeah. I think it's a missed opportunity for Shedeur.
He and his camp clearly are in the space of this is a moment that it will only hurt us.
Fair.
And compared to, hey, let's do this thing in Boulder or where they're going to do it, where we have it controlled. There's like, I don't know if he's in that space, but I believe he definitely believes he is, just like Cam Ward does, just like Travis Hunter does.
Yeah.
They feel like they're in the space of the only thing this will do can hurt me.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I do believe that, again, I think I'm leaning heavily into, I just have confidence that he would look really good. Like, it wouldn't, like in this stage right here, if Shedeur Sanders threw lights out, there would be an unbelievable amount of hype around him, where if he throws good at his pro day, they're going to be saying, yeah, he's a top five quarterback draft prospect. He should throw well. This stage, this combine stage, you know the game, man. They just blow it up and it would do wonders. And I think he would do really, really well in the setting. Now, the one thing as we're watching this weekend, everybody out there, you will see some quarterbacks that got huge chips on their shoulders, that got a lot to prove. It's interesting because you go from Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders to a wide open quarterback market, I think. I mean, quarterback draft class, I think. Jackson Dart, who I saw in person 2 years ago, I wanted no piece of him. I didn't want no piece of him. Obviously, he has improved tremendously. I still am shocked he's in the conversation where he's at, simply because he's got a real Baker Mayfield vibe to him. You know, not a first, like, it's hard to say because Baker went in the first round, but just like that smaller bodied, lesser arm, more of a grit guy, chip on the shoulder guy. And it's just interesting to see that guy that didn't play in a college football playoff, that didn't seem to get the hype that like a Baker Mayfield got when he was playing, be considered as the number three or number four overall quarterback. But Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. Will Howard is getting a lot of run lately out of Ohio State. Kyle McCord, the kid out of out of Syracuse. He was at Ohio State, went to Syracuse. He's getting a lot of run as well. Quinn Ewers, I think that's kind of the mystery with Quinn is the thing there. So I do think a lot of teams are going to be interested in meeting with him. Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe is going to throw. All these guys, by the way, are throwing at the combine. Jalen Milroe is probably the guy that I'm most excited to see throw at this combine. You want to talk about a guy that can go out there, if he goes out there, Ron, and he layers the football well, because the knock on him right now is the touch and the accuracy, let's say within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, the timing, the quick stuff, that's all the fundamental technique specific stuff. If he has worked that and perfected that in a way of, let's say, like Jalen Hurts
did. Hurts got to be the,
yeah, Ron,
the thing that you're looking at if you're him.
That you talk about making a huge jump. He could blow the doors off this thing and move to the number three quarterback undoubtedly with his athletic ability. Tyler
Slough.
How do you say that? It's a kid that was at Texas Tech. He transferred out to where was he? Louisville. He is a guy that is believed to have made a jump and be pushing Jackson Dart for that number three guy potentially. Depending on who you ask. I mean, these guys are all a crapshoot, but these guys, they will be throwing. By the way, Ohio State quarterback Will Howard, he got some throws in a parking lot last night at 11 p.m. in preparation for his
session. In the parking lot, that's the best place he could find it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm judging you, Will. That disappoints me.
Why does it disappoint you?
Come on, man. 11 o'clock at night in a parking lot.
I mean, I feel like there's somewhere else.
Two nights before you throw? Come on, man. What the hell are we doing?
They're trying to get that work in.
There ain't nothing you doing in a parking lot at 11 p.m. Exactly. Who thought that was a good idea? I mean, come on, Will. Don't be that guy.
I got
guy,
no use
man.
For you.
Don't be that look at me guy. Let's make the news because I'm in a parking lot under the lights at 11 o'clock at
it
night.
Works, in Indy, baby.
Man, stop it, bro. Couple other notes real quick at the combine, things you want to keep an eye on. Actually, one you want to keep an eye on, and another one that is, I think, a thing of note, really just a kind of a cool story. I don't know, Tyler, you are probably familiar with this guy because at your school's in the SEC. J.J. Pegues. He's a defensive lineman for Ole Miss.
Right? I, off the top, am not familiar with this.
Well, he's
fella.
The big dude, 330 pounds. They put him in the backfield and hand him the ball on the goal line, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
He is.
Unit.
Check this out. He's doing D-line, fullback, and tight end drills at the combine yesterday and today. He said, to hell with it. I'll do whatever y'all want me to do.
Big
I'm doing
fella
it all.
Putting in that work.
Big fella. And apparently, he's getting a lot of run as a, I like those words around, as a weapon. I don't know if I've ever seen a D-lineman get that kind of run, but apparently he's a freakish athlete. 330 pounds doing D-line, fullback, and tight end stuff.
Like Javorski Lane back in the day for the Aggies.
Yes.
you remember him?
Yes, absolutely.
J-Train.
The other thing, real quick thing of note this weekend, Isaiah Bond, Texas wide receiver, mm-hmm. University of Texas wide receiver. Y'all see him calling a shot?
Isaiah Bond, ain't he?
He said, I'm going 4-2 flat. Or possibly 4-1, I'm breaking the record, no doubt. Would Worthy go 4-2-3? Was it 4-2-3 last
4-2-1,
year?
4-2-1, I believe.
4-2-1. So he's got to get 4-2-0. But boy, Isaiah Bond standing up there and calling his shot on the fastest man ever at the combine? That's ballsy. I mean, he got my attention. I'm watching it this weekend. There ain't no doubt about it.
No, yeah, the receivers are fun to watch. O-line is fun, too. Some of them don't give a damn, and some do. That is the one coming up. All right, coming up as we continue right here live on The Drive. I don't know. I just got a notification from Netflix. Watch the trailer coming March 2nd. How to Have Sex.
Like a how to? That's probably good for some folks out there. It's nice of them.
Young ladies. Got to bring it in. How to Have Sex.
Well, I don't know what to think about that. A lot of things I need some help with. That's not one of them. Number two, you're getting notifications. I don't know what to think about you.
I'll be honest with you.
I don't think you don't know how. I just think that there may be some.
I am intrigued to see what it's about.
I don't think that just comes out of left field. That means that some of your scrolling history may be suspect.
I watch rom-coms.
well, hey, boys.
I want to explore this a little bit more as a trailer to watch for it.
That's more right, sexy traffic.
And more stuff come from the combine, the 49ers, and you just said something in Dirty's Daily that gave me a thought about something with Shedeur Sanders. We'll touch that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
You were talking about the quarterbacks. You're talking about Shedeur Sanders. You thought he could. He is somebody who actually that maybe in the top 10 could improve some things if he worked out at the combine. Are y'all sure Shedeur's gonna go in the top 10?
No.
Is there a potential that we are looking at an Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith? Who's the last quarterback that had to wait?
Johnny?
Hell, Johnny went ahead of both of them, though, I think. Like, Johnny was like 22 or something like mm-hmm. that.
Started texting that owner of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Word on the street was Andy was going to pull the trigger if the Browns didn't.
Really?
Andy Reid at 23.
I've never heard that.
23 or 24. Yeah. I've been hearing that lately a little bit of there's a thought that there could be a Shadur slide. And I don't know if that is just, if that is, because yeah, sometimes it's hard. And this time, I mean, we look at it. They did it to Andrew Luck. They did it to C.J. Stroud. Like, yeah. There's a point where people start talking down on certain players and say
yep.
these are things. So I couldn't tell if it was that, but I do. I wonder if there could be a slide with him.
I think there potentially is. It took me a while to buy into Shedeur Sanders, and I am one of very few that still appreciates, like I said earlier, the old school action of throwing the football. Nowadays, and the truth of the matter is there's a lot of guys at that combine right now that can't tell you the ins and outs of a quarterback throwing a football. All they do is see it come off his hand and they're like, well, I like it kind of deal, right? They can't tell you the whys, the hows, the strengths, the weaknesses.
And had a real tight spiral.
Who's that? Oh yeah.
Well,
it's just what everybody's in love with now is everything is overcoached from a rotational standpoint. And when you rotate so violently, then yes, you gain like whatever your body's capable of creating from a velocity standpoint and a power standpoint, you're maximizing that joker out. But you risk your accuracy, you risk the ability to layer the football the way that a pro needs to be able to layer the football. And so I'm less impressed with the guy that is super rotational and just can throw it through a wall and throw it 80 yards, the Will Levis's of the world. And I'm more into the guys that are technically throwing it right, that I know are going to be able to throw the ball with anticipation, throw a very catchable ball, can afford to miss by a yard, and a receiver can still get his hands on it and doesn't break his fingers. He catches it and can keep running kind of thing. And I think Shedeur has the old school strengths, and I don't know how much they're appreciated as these guys watch it right now in today's football.
It's just something that started to be said, and he looks like a candidate of somebody who's over the next month and however long the draft is, of somebody whose so-called negatives or flaws will be really, really talked about.
Yeah, latched on to, yeah.
This is the thing that I've started to hear of late is what special thing does he do?
Yeah.
Like, what's the special part of his game? That because usually they'll say, usually if you're drafted in the top five like that, yep, what do you do that's special? And that has started to come about, and then you can see it, the, ooh, man, do we want to deal with that drama, yep, that may come with it between him and his dad and that, you know, all of that thing. Do we want to – also, he is a guy that is on the line that you can see either way of confident or cocky.
Yep.
And what he says. So I just, you could see a lot of that becoming a big, big talking, yeah, point that could, well, cause
the,
him to,
the,
slide.
The one, the things you can't deny is the production, right? And the everywhere he went, that school got significantly better. And he left the school, two different schools, in a better place than when he got there. And so it's hard to deny that. And I'll tell you, as you're talking, you know who his action and kind of really, he didn't play with this the same caliber guys, you know, a supporting cast that he, you know, he reminds me of
who?
CJ. When you
smaller,
talk
smaller, but
when, well, yeah, not as thick, obviously, but when you talk about like the action, like a very compact, old school power snap delivery that he very accurate given the world he lived in. He was really, really good. The way he throws the football, his action, the upright motion, the compact, the power that he can generate with a compact old school power stroke is very CJ Stroud-esque. And so I don't know. I don't know. I don't see him slipping, but it because he's not a guy that's going to get up there and get into a pissing match with Cam Ward. Like, you know, he's not going to be able to throw it as far and as hard as Cam Ward does. Just not going to happen. But I would be willing to bet you that from a layering and a touch perspective and a timing anticipation perspective, he's probably better than Cam Ward. So, I don't know. It would shock the hell out of me if Cam Ward fell. It wouldn't shock me if Shedeur Sanders fell a bit.
Yeah, that's and people are so quarterback needy that they will go after quarterbacks, but we'll see. That Will Levis year, though, I mean, like, thought he was going to sneak in, and they made him wait to the second round, so you never know. I'm with you. I think it's hard for him. There's so many teams that need a quarterback, and you can see his skill set to be one that gives you a chance. It's hard to see, you know, the Jets and the Raiders and other teams just passing on him. Hell, somebody texted, imagine if he gets to the Niners at 11. You know, it's hard to see that many teams just pass on
him. Well, I would think if he gets to where the Raiders 7,
6, if 6 he, and then the Jets are 7.
Boy, if he gets to 6, I mean, him and Brady are, he spent a lot
him
of time.
They're close.
Spent a
lot like, of time. Brady has talked him up for 2 years.
That will be the talk of if he gets to the Raiders and they don't pick him, that will be the talk of. Well, he clearly has problems because Brady didn't go get him. As needy as the Raiders are, that would, if he slid past that would shock me.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's going to be one to keep on. But you start this week. It was the what does he do that special type of thing, and that's an interesting thing. All right, coming up, the biggest news of the day that involves the Houston Texans. There is a very, very, very prominent free agent that has been connected to the Texans, has been connected in terms of strong interest from the Texans. We'll let you know who that player is and discuss coming up.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to the Ying Yang Twin, who was able to get after it. Really helped me through some college years. I know for you that was more Little League.
That was my warm-up music at Baytown East.
Yeah, it felt like it
was. That's Bar Dallas for me.
There you go.
You old asses.
Can of room, Bar Dallas.
There you go. But this news here today, and I feel like there is a mixed feeling from Texans fans on this, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on the text line, YouTube, and Twitch as well on this. Jordan Schultz.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility.
at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reports this, he works for Fox, that the Commanders and the Houston Texans have had significant interest in trading for 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel, with talks progressing in recent days, sources tell NFL on Fox, Jordan Schultz. Other teams include the Steelers and Broncos, but nobody has been as aggressive as Houston and Washington have been here in trying to acquire the services of Deebo Samuel. I feel good about this move in a bunch of ways. Like, when I say move, just that they are in talks or aggressively pursuing this. I feel good in multiple ways, but not that I'm surprised, but I think it is interesting that there are some people who really aren't fans of this move. Both text line, YouTube, Twitch. I think I heard Reggie talking about it on In the Loop. Not a huge fan. I personally like the thought of Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I love the thought of Deebo Samuel. I absolutely love it. I understand why some folks may be skeptical. I understand why some folks may have a little pause for cause, if you will, or cause for pause, I guess. Look, I mean, there's stories out there of being 20 pounds overweight, and that strained the relationship between him and Shanahan. There's obviously a couple years ago where there was some drama around his usage and just how much he was being used versus, I'm sure, how much he was being paid, and so things haven't been peachy keen in San Francisco his entire time out there, but. There's a few things here for me with Deebo Samuel being a Houston Texan potentially. I think number one, he was one of the faces of an organization that, from a physicality standpoint, were as good, if not better, than anybody in the league from a physicality standpoint on both sides of the football. Give me some of that. When you look at what he brings to the table offensively from a weapon perspective, I'm going to assume that he's okay with going back and probably wants to go back to some of the ways he was being used a couple of years ago, running back slash wide receiver. That weapon, those guys don't come around very often. There's a handful of them in the league. They don't come available very often. They're hard to find in the draft. When you do find them, it's a huge gamble. Give me the guy that's proven and got pelts on the wall. Thirdly is I am not. I don't subscribe typically to in Nick Caserio we trust. I think that's almost like an out. It's a soft out of not having an opinion, right? I just trust him. Yeah, I just trust D'Amico. Like I just trust Nick. Like okay, you don't have a take. You don't have an opinion. You don't care, which is fine. But let's not put it on Nick and D'Amico. Like I hate that phrase. I'm gonna use it. I think it's very fitting. When you look at Deebo Samuel, yes, there are concerns there with Deebo Samuel. Nobody is more concerned about the diva actions a couple of years back and how it's impacted his play. Nobody's more critical of players, especially skilled players that are trying to play at 20 pounds overweight. You want to talk about injuries, gain you some weight and you can get injured real quick, right? Nobody's more critical of that than me. I'm leaning heavily into D'Amico Ryans here. If this becomes a real thing, and I'm not even talking about the Texans signing him or trading for him, but a real thing where, hey, the Texans are involved. They're trying to pull this thing off. I am leaning heavily into D'Amico I trust. D'Amico was in that locker room. D'Amico knows what Deebo Samuel's all about. D'Amico knows whether he can push the buttons that'll get Deebo Samuel back into shape and get him playing, you know, the way he was a couple of years ago. And I think if anybody can get the best out of Deebo Samuel, it's a guy in D'Amico Ryans that's been there. So this is one time when I'm going to lean heavily into, hey, D'Amico, I trust, baby.
Yeah, text line coming through. Signing Deebo Samuels would fill a need for the Texans and allow them to look for wide receiver later in the draft. Sign me up for any playmakers. I don't think Deebo is washed.
I don't either.
Right. I think I'm not saying that Deebo is the guy that was, I mean, just one of the top overall weapons in football. I'm not saying he's there. But boy, man, I still think, Clint, he is a guy that defenses have some concerns about. And when they see him in motion, there's a bit of a freak out. There's a, what is he going to do? How are they going to use him? And I don't even necessarily go with, hey, he can touch it and he's capable of hitting his head on the goalpost immediately. But he is a guy that touches it, that on a screen, on a handoff, on a toss, on a slant, that he can get big chunk plays, field position changing plays. He can get 25, 30. And to me, the only you got Nico and Joe Mixon from an, you know, also as well. Those are the only two guys that can do that. And Joe's aging as well. So you wonder how much is that on the offense that can do that. And I'm sorry. He knows the system, has played in the system, and just a creative type of player, if you're going to be creative with him, that you can use to get him. I think Cooper Kupp is a good football player and would be a good fit as well. I do think Cooper may be a little further away from his prime than I think Deebo is. And I definitely believe that for Stephon Diggs, yeah. Real or fake.
Well, real or fake.
Well, I think that's why I couldn't remember his name earlier today.
You thought it was the other guy, right?
Yeah,
look, I mean, you want to talk, take this thing a step further. You want to talk about the ability to take some pressure off the offensive line and C.J. Stroud. I mean, this move immediately gives you a second option out of the backfield to Joe Mixon. And I'm not saying you turn around and hand it to him 20 times a game. I'm just simply saying he gives you an option there, like a much better option than 33 and who was the other back? Damian Pierce. Like a much better option, like weapon in that role right there. He gives you like a legit, like NFL wide, no matter who you're playing, threat in the screen game. And those are ways to take pressure off of CJ Stroud and off of the offensive line. It's not going to happen just by an offensive line coach teaching technique and fundamentals. You got to have a scheme and you got to have the players that fit that scheme. I just think Deebo Samuel, is this one right here. I'm more excited about this one than I should be.
I love the. I'm, listen, I'm going to be completely honest, fellas. I am watching I am watching Deebo Samuel highlight right now. My man just took a 4-yard slant on third and eight to the house. And for about 20 yards, he got hit by 4 or 5 people and still got into the end zone.
Bad MF-er.
My favorite part of this overall is Clint, that they are clearly letting it be known, letting it be reported that not just there's interest, there is significant interest. And that at least makes me believe, they are serious about filling this void. Filling the void of second receiver, and so serious about it, they are willing to give up pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to maybe towards the top of the list in who they would want to give up. And I like that part. I hope they have this same mindset when it comes to the interior offensive line as well, that they'll go to the top of the thing.
Yep.
That to me is my favorite part of it all for the Texans is Deebo Samuel is arguably the top free agent receiver on the, like, there's an argument he is at, if there's tiers.
He's not a free agent, but available.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If there's a tier of receivers available, yeah, I think he'd probably be in that top tier. And I think it is a really good sign if you're a Texans fan how serious they are about filling that.
Yeah, look, and we'll take it another step. We'll take it another step further. I mean, you were talking about a red zone threat, like the ability to catch that little screen game, that little quick screen, on the 4-yard line, the ability to toss it to him on the goal line, the ability to motion him into the backfield and hand it to him downhill. All of it is just it's a weapon. Like, we are conditioned from the Bobby Slowick days to all receivers can do all things, and we're back here handing jet sweeps off to Xavier Hutchinson. No offense, Hutch, but damn. I mean, that ain't the idea right there, yeah, right? I mean, you're talking about like specialty players, and this is one where he helps you tremendously on several fronts where you need help. And there's he's a unicorn. There ain't but a handful of them walking around, and I don't like taking the risk in the draft to try to find one.
Yeah. All right. People rolling through here. Do you maybe think Deebo could put on a few more pounds and he could play offensive line? No. But as Clint said, he can help the offensive line.
D'Amico Ryans knows whether he can address that weight issue or not, or if that is a problem.
Yeah. Like I said, man, they are serious about filling that void. And that is to me exciting. If you're a Houston Texans fan, that they are. Maybe it's not him. Maybe it isn't Deebo. Maybe it doesn't end up being Deebo. But I could feel good that it probably won't be like, hey, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna bring in Noah Brown to be the second one. We're gonna bring in Robert Woods to be the second guy. No, it looks like they're going to really attempt to address this thing. Coming up a little 5 o'clock fire. Jose Altuve, he debuted in left field. You'll get to hear from him himself as we have audio of what he felt like his day went like. The biggest story in the combine has come to an end. We'll give you the latest on that. And now also the domino effects off of that move being solved. There's more coming out from that too. All of that coming up next.
Really, really happy.